Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Good morning, Dr. Mia Mask. How are you?
I'm fine, Angela. How are you?
I'm well. I'd like to welcome you to the New Books Network African American Studies.
Thank you.
Today, we will talk to Dr. Mask about her book, Divas on Screen, Black Women in American Film. So tell us a little bit about Divas on Screen.
Sure. It is a book that developed out of my dissertation. It is a star study. So it's an examination of five African-American women film stars. And I was working on my dissertation and very interested in Black stardom and in the questions that are raised by the experiences, the professional and personal experiences of Black stars. And so the project really evolved out of the work that I was doing as a graduate student and then pursued after graduate school. And it became a close sort of examination of their careers.
Excellent, excellent. So how does your book fit into African American studies?
Great question. Well, African American film studies is a growing field, but it has been around for a long time. So many people are familiar, for example, with Donald Bogle's seminal book, Toms, Coons, Mammies, Mulattoes, and Bucks, an interpretive history of African Americans in film, which everyone in our field, in our discipline of cinema studies generally cites and knows as one of the seminal and one of the first texts to really look at the history of African-American representation in mainstream American film. And he is a figure that we all admire and look to, but he is somebody who also helped to grow our field. So there are many other African-American film historians and critics who are part of our discipline. Ed Guerrero, whose seminal book, Framing Blackness, is often cited and used as a course textbook across the country and widely. Monthia Diawara, who has written many books. He's an Africanist and an African-Americanist. So there are so many, Jackie Stewart, Michelle Wallace, so many of us working in Black film studies, you know, really growing the field and going into the archives to learn as much as we can and unearth and share as much as we can about what's happening and what has happened in the film industry and how it has impacted the lives of African-American performers, directors, editors, you know, those working both in front of and behind the camera. So it's really part of the discipline of African-American film studies, but cinema studies more generally.
Cinema studies. So let's see. Your book talks about Dorothy Dandridge, Pam Grier, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, and Halle Berry. So are they equal in what they bring to film studies, or does each woman do something different?
Yeah, yeah. I would never say that they are equal or really talk about them, you know, as though they're sort of weighted against one another, because that's not, the book's not really doing that. It's an examination of their careers at, you know, from a historical standpoint and sort of placed into the context of what was happening in American culture, in American society, mm-hmm. and then specifically in the film industry when they came to film and when they came to work in film and television. So I start with Dorothy Dandridge. I was really interested in looking at Black women film stars from the post-World War II era to the present. I have colleagues like Charlene Register who've done work that is pre-World War II, sort of examination of Black women film stardom. But my book is really about post-World War II film stars. So I start with Dorothy Dandridge because of the seminal sort of figure that she was in terms of really changing the conversation about Black women film stars. So she's one of the first African-American women to be nominated for an Academy Award. And it's not that I place so much stock or value in the Academy Awards as an indication of merit per se, but it is an important marker in terms of the recognition of Black women's work in film on a national stage, right? So I'm very interested in the book, in her career, and then in what her career facilitates or allows thereafter, the kinds of conversations, the kinds of employment opportunities for other Black women who come after her. And so then I'm looking at Pam Grier subsequently, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah as a television / film star, and then Halle Berry, all as people who, as figures who really changed in some way the conversation about what was going on, what opportunities were available to Black women, and how they really helped to shift the terrain and shift the conversation and create greater opportunities for Black women, because there's recognition of Black women's artistry in part through them. So that's why I focus on those particular figures.
Let's say now we want a book number two. Who are the women, Black women, that are changing the conversation now? Like, if you could add to these divas on screen, I'm thinking Viola Davis, Octavia Spencer, like people changing the conversation. If you were asked to write a book two, what women would you include?
Well, you named several of them. If I were writing a follow-up or sort of a more contemporary version of this mm-hmm. book, absolutely want to look at the career of Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right when you say Octavia Spencer is someone whose work is, you know, very compelling, very dynamic, and, you know, she's worked in a variety of types of films. I've long been interested in the career of Kerry Washington, really, from her debut film, Our Song, to her present work. I've been a student of her career for a long time, so I think Kerry Washington's been somebody that I've watched, you know, grow and evolve, and have been excited about her work from the beginning. Let's see. I'm actually also interested in some folks who are not American, but who have worked in American films. Tanda Newton among them. You know, so there are many Black women, you know, now who I would love to interview, love to write about. I've sort of moved on to some other projects, and I'm not doing that work right now, but they're absolutely Viola Davis and Kerry Washington are chief among, you know, two I'd like to. And then for some women directors I'd love to interview. I'd love to talk with Shonda Rhimes about her enterprise, right? I'd love to talk with Ava DuVernay about her work.
Absolutely.
So they're, you know, right? I've continued to be a big fan of Julie Dash's work. I mean, she really is the founding matriarch in some ways of Black women's work as director. So there are lots of women who work both in front of and behind the camera that I think are important.
It's good for us to know that in front, who we see on the screen, as well as who's working the cameras and writing the stories behind the screen. I love the cover of your book, Pamela Grier, her afro, and I want you to speak a little to that, because you can feel this difference with Black women and their hair today, who we follow. Tell us just a little bit about this cover and how it how it really speaks to the power of the Black woman today.
I think that we chose that cover, you know, from one of the Pam Grier star vehicles, because Pam Grier's star persona was such a an important such an important part of thinking about the impact of Black power and the Black Panthers and the civil rights movement as it informed African Americans' desire to see more realistic images of us on screen. You know, we really wanted to see powerful, strong women, powerful, strong Black people, and her Blaxploitation star persona embodied and, you know, really she personified that strong, self-assured, confident, you know, no nonsense feminist sensibility. And, you know, it's not just her hair, but even in the, you know, the gaze, the way she's, you know, returning the gaze of the onlooker, you know, her whole, you know, sort of energy in that still, but in those films in general, I think is important in terms of, you know, kind of creating a very strong feminist stance and you know, persona. So we love that, you know, the press loved that image. It was one of several that I suggested to them. You know, we also love, obviously, the natural hair. And, you know, Pam Grier is just such an important icon. And we thought that that image would really speak to the strong images of Black women that we're trying to, you know, present in the book.
Why do you think readers should pick this book up?
It's a fun read, most importantly. Yeah. A lot of people tell me they've enjoyed it when they read it. And it will help you put things into perspective. I mean, I'm very interested right now, actually, in looking at Beyoncé's Lemonade, as many of my colleagues are, you know, to sort of think about and unpack what she's doing, you know, in her work. I haven't done as much work on musical artists, but I am interested in understanding more about, you know, Beyoncé and her, you know, star persona. But I think it's important to look at, for example, the star persona of Pam Grier. Because when you think about even a film like Austin Powers, right? Beyoncé appeared, you know, she's doing a kind of a version of Cleopatra Jones and Foxy Brown, and I think a character named Foxy Cleopatra, yeah. Right? So there are ways in which I'm interested. I think the book is useful for anybody who wants to think about Black women's stardom, whether it be in film or in the music industry, to look at the careers of, say, Pam Grier, for example, and even Halle Berry and Oprah and these people, to think about what did they do? How did they do what they did? And how did they bring a performance style, a sense of Black womanhood, Black feminism to the fore and to the forefront in a way that, like, we even see figures like Beyoncé picking up on it for, you know, subsequent generations picking up that baton and moving forward. So I think readers should pick up the book if they're at all interested in popular culture.
Okay, excellent, excellent. These five women are like the pillars, right? Our pillars of those who are coming afterwards. Just like you said, Beyoncé's picked up a little bit of Pam Grier, and we have talk show hosts who have followed because of Oprah. Excellent, excellent.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Black women like Octavia Spencer and Viola Davis, who recognized that Halle Berry was, you know, following Dorothy Dandridge's career trajectory and tradition, and that it's not insignificant that Halle Berry portrayed Dorothy Dandridge in the biopic, you know, about Dorothy Dandridge's life. So, you know, I think there are these connections that if you read Divas on Screen, Black Women in American Film, that you will make and that you'll see between earlier representations of Black women in film and television and contemporary representations of Black women in film, television, and music video.
Do you think the representation has changed of Black women on TV?
Well, you say the representation, and I appreciate the question, but it almost implies that, like, there is just sort of like one, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
So say the representation, what are we talking about? Like, you know what I mean? So are we talking about, I would never want to, even in earlier moments, say de-representation as if all representations of Black women can be put in one box, right?
Right.
So I would say, has representation changed? I'd say, yes, it has. Right. You know, that's one of the things that my book demonstrates. But even, I mean, I can't even take credit for that, that if you read, you know, Donald Bogle's Toms, Coons, Mammies, Mulattoes, yeah. and Bucks, he's talking about how Black actors have navigated and negotiated the stereotypes that they were, you know, sort of given to play, but how they also had to alter and change them. So I would never say that Black representation in film, popular culture generally, has not changed at all. I would, you know, I wouldn't want to make that kind of reductive statement. So has it changed? Absolutely.
Yes.
But I want to talk more specifically about who, at what moments, in which films, yes. rather than make kind of broad sweeping generalization.
So thank you for that. That makes sense, that we should look at it in all different perspectives, and it has changed, and we are fighting outside of the box to do something different that isn't stereotypical.
Right. Well, so, yeah, there's absolutely a way in which there have been the stereotypes that we've been limited to, but we have seen, you know, from the 1960s to the present, a whole range of ways in which Black women have complicated Black, you know, stereotypes, right? Or stereotypes,
yes.
particularly Black womanhood. Whether we're talking about Diane Carroll in Julia,
yes.
or Esther Rolle in Good Times, right? Or, you know, we could talk about, you know, very contemporary stuff like Kerry Washington in Scandal, or, you know, sort of the work of women in science fiction. You know, there's just been a range of images. And I think what the problem is that there have been so few that we tend to think that, okay, Black women have only ever played one kind of role. But if you really look at, I mean, this is the, sort of the point of my book and the point of the work of many other people in our field. If you look more closely, there is a broad range of things that people have done. There have just been too few opportunities and too few roles. And then there are some wonderful shows that are available now. I mean, I'm watching Ava DuVernay's show, Queen Sugar, right? And so, and seeing wonderful performances there. So it's, you know, not only in the Shonda Rhimes Enterprise, but even in some of the new work by Ava DuVernay and other people, you know, we're seeing a greater range. But there are roles that have, there are complicated roles that have been out there, and a variety of things that have been in on television. There have just been so few, and they just have not had the kind of support that other mainstream television shows have had.
I have not watched Queen Sugar yet, so that thanks for putting a little plug in there for that. So is there something you want to add to the conversation before we say goodbye? And then I also, I'm giving you two questions, so forgive me. You said that you're working, is there something like you're working on now?
Well, so in addition to Divas, I have two anthologies that are currently mm-hmm. out. One is about, it's a collection of essays about African-American cinema titled Contemporary Black American Cinema. And there's some great pieces in there. Ed Guerrero has a wonderful piece in that book on Bamboozled. So we're really proud of that anthology. And then more recently, Ian Strong, a Bahamian scholar, and I put together an anthology out of a conference that Ian organized in Nassau, Bahamas, a Sydney Poitier conference. And that book is Poitier Revisited. And it's a sort of examination of the Poitier catalog of films. There are many wonderful essays in there from our colleagues. And I'm currently working on a book on the African-American Westerner. So, yeah, there are a lot of projects out there.
Okay, excellent. We'll have to have you back again to talk about Sydney Poitier. Is there anything additional you'd like to tell us before we let you go?
Oh, just thanks for having me. I hope folks can pick up the book. There's just sort of a lot there that I hope will encourage people to think about what has transpired in American film and television and the relationship between the past and the present to kind of understand some of the connective tissue between Pam Grier and her beauty, strength, and sort of feminist persona in her films, and how that has sort of impacted a contemporary women's, black women's work in popular culture.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Take care.